Hey guys, it's William the Opinion Updike from Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm joined with my best friend, as I am every day.
Positive Chuck Mockler.
Positive Chuck Mockler. A lot to be positive about.
It's a great day to be positive.
So today we're going to be doing a variation on our regular Wednesday segment, which is What Could Have Been Wednesdays or Parallel Universe. But today it's going to be What Could Be Wednesdays, featuring a certain Jimmy Butler. We've also got some news on the general NBA, most notably Mark Cuban, and we're going to wrap up with some Lee Jenkins talk and our favorite team, the only basketball team in Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Clippers.
Starting off, what has dominated the news today is Jimmy Butler had his meeting today.
Not yesterday, as some people thought.
As some people thought. I think literally everyone did. But they had their meeting. It apparently went very poorly for the Wolves, reported from Shams. Butler wants to trade his three destinations that he'd like to sign with, that he plans to sign an extension with, is the most important thing for these teams, are the Knicks, the Nets, and the Clippers.
Yes.
That is a bit of an odd list to me. I'm just happy the Clippers are on
totally. I want to circle back, though, for 1 second first. Did Tibbs come out to L.A. for this meeting?
You think there was? You don't even think there was a meeting?
I do think there was a meeting. Yeah. I'm asking you if you think Tibbs came out for it.
I think he did. It was reported he did.
I just can't picture him in L.A.
In Los Angeles? Yeah, he's...
Did he wear shorts?
There's no way on
How
earth.
How sweaty was he?
He wore wool pants.
How sweaty was he the whole meeting?
The meeting also... He was probably too sweaty because the meeting, according to Dan Briano, a KFan sports radio host in Minnesota, reported that the meeting went so poorly that Butler wants out immediately, maybe by the end of this week, and will not show up to training camp.
That is heavy.
Man, the Wolves are apparently not a very well-run organization. But the biggest thing here is, A, can't believe the Clippers are on that list.
Yeah.
It's great. I think it shows such big strides in this organization to be even in this conversation, I think.
Absolutely.
Kawhi and Jimmy both kind of putting us in that conversation feels, I mean, it's the first time that I've been a Clippers fan.
You do feel wanted. It feels nice to feel wanted.
It does feel really good.
I guess my only hesitation with it is, you know, we saw this exact same thing with the Kawhi. We saw this exact same thing with Carmelo.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't pan out that way.
Yeah, there was someone brought up an interesting, they post an interesting comment of like, when has anyone been traded to one of the teams they prefer to go to?
Because I feel like if you're the organization, you're like, all right, just as a point of contention, you want one of these three teams, we're going to talk to all 26 other teams.
Yeah, screw you. and it does kind of trouble me that the Clippers are in the West.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't really benefit the Wolves to give him to us, especially with our bevy of perimeter players and SGA apparently getting the keys to the organization, which we'll talk about more later, thanks to Lee Jenkins. But yeah, I want him to come to the Clippers. I'm still not sure. I'm not certain at all that he's going to come.
Yeah, but we've got more on that later.
Yeah. Another big NBA news. There was that, the report came out today on the work climate and sexual harassment for the Dallas Mavericks. Mark Cuban. One of the biggest stories of last year that weirdly kind of went away for a while.
It a little bit seemed like it fizzled out for a while, which was kind of troubling.
And maybe not that it was swept under the rug, but for a league that is trying to be really progressive and has made a lot of great steps to be progressive, it felt like maybe not enough attention was placed at maybe what was going on. Maybe that was the nature of the investigation.
Yeah.
But it did feel odd how little press it got. He's required to donate $10 million to foundations that promote women in leadership roles. They will require that the franchise makes changes on reporting, staffing, and policy to improve the workplace culture. I mean, good that he's donating $10 million. Mm-hmm. The league can only, like, make him donate $2.5 million, but there was something, because it's not basketball related.
Oh, I see.
So I'm not sure where that $10 million figure came on, but he's donating $10 million. But, yeah.
Seems like a good move to save face.
It seems like a good move to save face, and it's also, I have a hard time anytime these things happen with believing that the person at the top didn't know anything about it.
I especially don't believe it with someone who's as involved with the organization as Cuban is.
Yeah, this isn't a 90-year-old owner who is never at games and never in the press and never talking about the team.
This is a guy who they have a training course for new players to the team about how to deal with Mark Cuban yelling at you from the sidelines. This is an owner who at one point, Dirk Nowitzki, during play, took out his mouth card and told him to shut the F up because he's so involved in the goings-on of the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, so it's like, and these were obviously positions of power that were preying on women who were lower than them. And it just, I mean, Mark Cuban is very good at PR for himself. So he does seemingly seem to get away from kind of being blasted in this report about knowing what was going on. I just have a hard time. I always sighed just like he had to know what was going on and was maybe thought he was doing enough about it, but obviously it was a culture there is the thing that gets me.
Yeah.
This isn't an isolated incident. This was a culture of harassment and degrading behavior towards women.
Yeah.
That you have to assume permeates the highest levels, at least knowing about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess $10 million is enough. I don't even know how to dole out punishments for things like this.
Yeah, I don't really know either. I think I'd like to see, I guess, an initiative to have more women in roles of, like, in higher roles of leadership within the organization there.
Which we've seen with other teams, which has been nice. Becky Hammon and stuff like that. But, yeah, the changes on staffing, it's like, so, okay, so you're kind of...
And I feel like that's overplaying your hand as an organization, like, for the NBA.
Because you're like,
well,
we'll do it.
Yeah.
Like...
So I, you know, that's what I would like to see me as a person,
yeah.
But I don't think that should have to be imposed by the NBA. I think that, like, if you want to rectify this situation, this is what you should do.
Do it.
You should actively, like, you should actively interview more candidates who are qualified females.
100%. It's, I mean, I guess this is the next step in them trying to rebuild that relationship. I'm not really sure what basketball savvy women would maybe want to work for this organization at this point. It
yeah.
makes total sense if they wouldn't want to. But that was a big, and even the reporting of this $10 million didn't feel that big today.
Mm-hmm.
Even the whole reporting of the whole aspect didn't feel that big, which is just so odd. Maybe it's because Mark Cuban is a fairly well-liked owner and like the public sphere and stuff like that. So there was as much vitriol, and the organization itself is like a quote unquote nice place, you know what I mean, like organization wise culturally,
yeah,
I feel like there's not
thought
a lot
of it that way.
There's not a lot of hate,
yeah,
for the Mavs,
definitely.
But I mean, hopefully only positive things come out of this. It, yeah, I mean, $10 million, good start. Maybe make it 20 because he's a billionaire, but
no, I'm always perplexed by that.
Yeah, I'm like, $10 million, okay, cool.
I guess one other general NBA thing, unless you have anything else.
No, I think I'm good on that.
Lonzo Ball, still not cleared yet for 5-on-5 practice.
He hasn't played one-on-ones.
Yeah.
Which is all you need in basketball.
Only thing that matters.
Only thing that matters. He's got that retooled.
When you're an isolation heavy god like Lonzo Ball.
Yeah. he's got that new jump shot. It'll be interesting to see if he even plays in preseason and stuff like that. I bet they hold him out.
I guess that's what I was going to ask. I see no reason to really put him in during preseason play. I mean, to be honest, I maybe wouldn't even play LeBron in preseason play.
I would never pay LeBron in preseason, dude. It's like the NFL. I'm like, no one, Tom Brady, I hate the guy, does not have to play in the preseason.
Yeah.
Like, LeBron shouldn't have to. It's like making Josh Hart play in the summer league, which I've talked about enough. But I'm excited to see his new jump shot. If he can get a real consistent shot, he could be a terrifyingly good player.
Does this make you worry about the starting five for the Lakers? In your mind, I guess, is Lonzo in that starting five?
Probably not. I just
really?
Think Rondo's too smart. And
that's
maybe
fair.
Is familiar with those players a little more just from being around the league and messing around with them and stuff like that.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Or maybe it's like a 1A, 1B situation.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess the actual term of starter or the starting five is one thing, and maybe he might not be in that. I would be pretty surprised, though, if he didn't log more minutes than Rondo.
Yeah, I think that's
especially during the regular season.
Yeah, for sure, because Rondo's pretty old at this point. Oh, man. Coming up, we're going to have what
could be
Wednesdays. But first, guys, the NFL season is back. The Dolphins are 2-0, about to be 3-0. Again, the top of the AFC East. But Locked On NFL has become the house of experts. Every Monday, Locked On's experts have the biggest stories. And then Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus will join every Wednesday. Thursday, it's our boy, Mike PB&J Sando.
My favorite kind of Sando.
Following up on Thursdays, he's from ESPN. He knows what he's talking about. Be sure to follow Locked On NFL on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts to get this content. All right, so now, what could be Wednesdays?
What could be?
What do we give up for Jimmy? What in your eyes do we give up for Jimmy Butler?
Well, the big question here is navigating around the salary. We are pretty close to the cap for this season. Minnesota is already over, so that means that they can't take on more than a certain amount of salary, which kind of, in my mind, takes out some of the big ticket players, like, say, trading off Gallo or somebody who has a comparable to actually, I think, higher salary than Jimmy Butler.
That's been floated a lot on Twitter. I was we were talking with a lot of fans. A lot of people want just Gallo traded, but they would never do that.
Gallo for Butler straight up does work from a money standpoint because we have a trade exception. But
I don't think the Wolves are doing that.
I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening. After you've given up, you know, two players already, two starting players and a great rookie in Lauri Markkanen.
Mm-hmm. Man, they really messed this whole rebuild up.
Man, they bunged it so hard. But I guess piggybacking off of that, I mean, I want Butler, you know, I'd like to see him in a Clippers uniform. I don't want to give up too much.
Yeah. So I guess it's easier to say for me, here's who I don't want to trade. Mm-hmm. I don't want SGA even near this deal.
No,
which we'll get into later when we talk about Lee Jenkins.
I don't see that happening in any scenario.
I don't want Tobias near this deal.
I would be so surprised. I don't want Tobias anywhere near this deal either.
That's kind of it for me.
Those are untradeable. Yeah,
those are the only really two untradeable.
I don't see a trade happening that happens between the Clippers and the Timberwolves wherein we don't part ways with Lou Williams. They both take time at the two. You know,
his contract is crazy team friendly.
It's so team friendly. He's one of the longest contracts that we even have on the books, which is another hard thing. Wolves, yeah, if you're the Wolves, like, you're not getting a lot of long-term assets. Mm-mm. Which, you know, does make sense as Jimmy Butler, you know, there might be a nudge wink wink extension on the line here, but so far, you know, they only have him through this 2018-19 season.
Things can change.
So I went on Real GM, you know, one of my favorite sites. You should check it out if you don't. And ran a couple of trade scenarios.
Are these real trade scenarios or trade scenarios that I was getting on Twitter by people with Boondock Saints avatars?
These are my trade scenarios.
Okay.
As we said, like, from a money standpoint, Jimmy Butler for Gallo works straight up. I don't see any organization.
Done.
I don't see any organization taking part in that trade.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
There's no way. So I have two. And
okay.
I have one that would be really enticing, a really enticing package, I think, for the Timberwolves. And it would be a little bit of a bummer for us, but I could see this move really greasing the wheels to get this happening. So that trade would be, we would give up Lou Williams.
Okay.
Wesley Johnson.
Who cares?
Juwan Evans. And Sendarius Thornwell.
That kind of bums me out.
I'm bummed
on two of those guys going.
I would be really bummed to lose Lou Williams and Sendarius Thornwell.
Yes.
Juwan Evans is going to be a perfectly serviceable player. We have too many guards. So whatever happens in this trade, I think we have to give up three people just to make the roster work.
Yeah, or because we don't seem to be cutting anyone.
Yeah, so... Yeah, this trade makes sense to me in that Jimmy Butler's kind of a swing man, you know, plays the two and three.
He can go 1-3, I would say.
Yeah, he can go 1-3. You're getting a great backup guard in Lou Williams, who could be a starter.
Yeah.
And you're getting a forward in Wesley Johnson, who is, you know...
Wesley Johnson.
He's Wesley Johnson. Nothing more, nothing less. Juwan Evans.
Serviceable.
Yeah.
And Sendarius, going to make the leap this year. Love Sendarius.
Yeah, definitely.
Big pod favorite over here.
Yeah, and he's a great guard. He's also, I mean, he has a little bit of size. I could see him playing some more minutes at the three, mm-hmm. which I've talked about on here a little bit. So, I mean...
That's your trade scenario one.
That's trade scenario one. And this is like, if we can't get a deal going, to me, this is kind of DEFCON zero.
Just throwing
like, this is what we're willing to throw at everybody because Lou Williams is on a great contract. Wesley Johnson only has 1 year left. They can, you know, if he doesn't pan out,
yeah,
it's no gamble for them. Juwan Evans, obviously, still on a he's on a two-year deal, I believe, worth $3 million. That's great.
Yeah.
Sindarius Thornwell is still on his rookie board. Contract. Yeah. So
that's DEFCON zero.
That's DEFCON zero for me. That's okay. Like the most I feel like I'd be willing to give up. To me, that feels like a lot of pieces.
That is a lot of pieces.
And
so what's scenario two?
Scenario
less
two.
Less DEFCON. This is maybe DEFCON one.
Yeah, what is the worst DEFCON? DEFCON 0 is the worst one, right?
Let's go with it. In this scenario, yeah, DEFCON 0 is the worst one.
So DEFCON 1, to me, would be we give up Lou Williams.
Yeah.
Milos.
Okay.
And Wesley Johnson.
Yeah, that's the best trade in the world. That trade is like...
Other than Gallo for Butler straight up,
that's the best trade.
Probably my favorite trade. Actually, I might even like this one better than Gallo for Butler straight up.
I love Milos, but there's just SGA needs playing time. Young guys need playing time. We need defense.
Yeah. And see, this is the thing that doesn't... I love Lou Will, obviously. And, you know, as I've said on this Clipper podcast, I would marry him. I would, you know, I would love to see him in a Clippers uniform. But the thing that doesn't make me sad about the thought of him leaving is more playing time for Jerome and Shea.
We're obviously at such a time... This was a question I was going to pose in the third segment. We can kind of keep in our minds now that this might be the most important Clippers season in the history of the franchise.
Yeah.
I kind of think that. I've seen a lot of trade stuff. I don't have explicit trades in mind. That second trade you said would be like dream scenario. That would be so wonderful. I did see some people maybe saying that the Clippers are maybe in talks with the Suns to get a first and then add that into the Jimmy Butler deal. Maybe Patrick Beverley and someone else has gone for a first and then package that first with maybe Lou Williams and something else.
I just
for
don't
Butler.
Think to me, I,
which I don't want to do.
I think that's an enticing moving forward. To me, I think that the Timberwolves need somebody that can contribute right away. I don't think that draft picks are going to be as big of a factor in this trade. And I could be wrong. You know, they could surprise me, but just from where they're at right now,
they want a guy who can play today.
Yeah. And like the chances of them not winning this year and still retaining Karl Anthony Towns, I think beyond this season, to me are very low.
Yeah, he still has to sign that extension.
I think it's get it right this season or like you...
Which is not going to happen.
You risk him gone, you know?
The get it right this season mentality is so funny because it's like, you're obviously not getting it right this season.
Absolutely not.
Like, you're
absolutely not.
Everyone's like, they were the three seed. I'm like, yeah, who cares?
So are there any other trades that you...
I guess another person I would maybe put in the untouchable category is just Patrick Beverley from what... I just want him to be able to teach the young guys.
Yeah, he didn't come up in any of my trades.
Yeah. No, I really like your trades. I'd like to see Gallo included in one, but I just don't think it's possible because I don't think the Wolves are going to take it on. But again, we're dealing with GM Thibodeau.
Yeah. Just to make the money work, we'd have to take on more players than just Jimmy Butler. Like we'd have to probably take on maybe Jimmy Butler, Taj Gibson, and give up more pieces.
I'd be all right
give
with Taj,
give up a lot
maybe.
Of pieces.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't want to lose anyone who could maybe be considered part of this new foundation of the new Clippers and you with an Umlaut over the U. I want him on the team. It's just weird, too, because we don't know who has the leverage.
Yeah.
Because they know he wants to come to us, but we know he doesn't want to be there. So it's kind of like there's going to be no fleecing.
No.
I don't think anyone's going to, quote unquote, win or lose this trade.
No.
I think we're going to have to maybe part with some guys we like. I don't think Patrick Beverley is going to be one of them. I think Milos might be gone. I guess I hope Wesley Johnson. And yeah, but I'm just hoping we trade enough that we don't have to cut anybody.
Yeah.
Or we at least get the roster down to 15.
Yeah.
And this could also be imminent because, like we said, he might want to be traded by at least Tuesday.
And like us already.
Because that's when training, or that's when media day is.
Us already having, more players than you can have on a roster kind of aids us in that. I mean, in sheer amount of pieces, we can give more pieces up.
Yeah,
you
for
know?
Sure.
Essentially any trade that we do, like I said, kind of has to go three out, one in.
Definitely.
Unless we're planning on cutting guys like post-trade, which I don't really see. So now that we've gone over some trade scenarios, how do you see Jimmy Butler fitting in with this Clipper squad? Like, what, where do you see him? Like, how do you see him contributing to this future of the Clippers as well, not just this season?
Well, if he's locked up for the extension, which, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, he agrees to, I think it fits in great.
I have to agree.
I think we, I mean, so like the dream lineup, I guess, would be SGA at the one. I mean, Butler at the two, or Tobias.
Tobias at the two?
No, Tobias at the three. Sorry. I put Butler at the two.
Or, yeah, Butler at the two, or maybe Avery Bradley at the two.
Yeah, let's go SGA at the one, Bradley at the two, Butler at the three.
Yeah.
Toby at the four, and then maybe Trez or Gortat at the five.
Yeah, but that's a good lineup.
That's a lineup that, like, there's good spacing. It's, you know, if we keep Lou Williams, I think him and Butler on the floor together is nasty.
Yeah.
And I just see him being a good fit. I think Doc will have his respect and stuff like that. It just would be really exciting. I think he would bring an aspect of that. We'd have a lot of scoring. And we'd have a guy who does not quit on defense.
Yeah. Such a great two-way player.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess in a scenario where he's playing, because I think he generally, for Minnesota, plays more minutes at the guard than he does at small forward. Mm-hmm. I would see a lineup revolving around, you know, ideally Shea, Butler, and then you could have Gallo and Toby, you know, health permitted.
Yeah,
and,
for four games.
And then, yeah, either Trez or Gortat at the five, which to me is such a formidable lineup.
Gallo, Toby, and Butler on the floor at the same time.
Is insane.
Is a nightmare.
Yeah.
For everybody else who has to play them. No, he's a good fit. I want him more than Kawhi, if I'm being totally honest.
Interesting.
And I hope it happens. There's going to be a whirlwind of information in the next 72 hours.
Yeah.
I hope it happens. I hope they don't. I don't think they'll give up too much crazy stuff, but I'm pro it. You're pro him coming here, right?
I'm definitely. Like, this is one of the more exciting trades to me.
Yeah, and the timeline of it makes it exciting, and it's just the first time the Clippers have really been in that.
I will give one neg.
Yeah.
I don't want us to get into another, like, Chris Paul situation wherein one person is trying to dictate the culture of the entire squad.
I agree
with
you.
And that is something that I do worry about.
I agree with you, but I think if they have these conversations with Jimmy Butler, they're going to be like, look, man, look at the hires we've made. Look at our team. This is a team.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is, we're all buying into this, because they definitely are buying into it, especially with the Lee Jenkins hire. We're buying into this new culture. So, like, you got to get on, like, look at what Patrick Beverley's done. He's embraced the team so much. You have to do the same thing if you want to stay with our team.
Yeah.
So hopefully that happens.
That'd be great.
I don't know.
He'd be such a great role model for the younger guys, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, having, like, Shea and Jerome, one of the tutelage, and somebody like Jimmy
and
Butler.
P-Bev, God, I'm just getting excited thinking about it.
But yeah, I see him as being a great piece. Yeah, I would see him filling out more time at the three.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I feel like our depth on the wing, you know, unless Gallo stays healthy all season, you know, fingers crossed, as being one of the shallower positions.
For sure. That and center. Now we can kind of talk about Lee Jenkins.
Yeah.
Some overall Clippers news, which is, I mean, this hiring was pretty sweet.
It was. Before we get into how sweet this hiring was,
let me
tell you about something else that's sweet.
What's that?
Going to live events.
I do love live events.
The only drawback to live events?
What's that?
You got to get tickets.
Oh, tickets!
Where are you getting tickets?
I usually find them on the street.
Well, when you can't find them on the street, or you want to get the best deal, there's only one place to go, and that is Vivid Seats.
Woo!
With Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. So you can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. And as an added bonus, Vivid Seats right now is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for $20 off to any order of $200 or more. So
Ooh.
You can save.
What's that code?
Even more money. So the promo code, it's Locked On, all capital, all one word, Locked On, for $20 off orders of $200 or more. And unlike finding your tickets on the street, every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. So you can download the app, enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more.
All right, real quick, the Lee Jenkins hiring kind of took the league by storm, at least sports writer-wise.
Yeah.
One of the perennial, David Locke described him as the LeBron and Durant of contemporary sports writing. High praise from Sir Locke. This is a hiring. He got hired for a position that is the first.
Then who's Woj? And like,
those aren't technically club writers. I guess Woj, I don't know, man. I didn't do the quote. Woj is the Durant and the Lillard, I guess. yeah. Anyway, metaphors aside, Lee Jenkins was hired as a position that has yet to exist until now, the Director of Research and Identity.
Yeah, so...
kind of an ominous-sounding title, but one that I like.
Not the first person to have a career, obviously, in sports journalism to make the move to the office.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a couple, but I don't have names in front of me. But this is interesting that it's like it's not filling an already designated role. You know what I mean? Like he's not a scout or like
yeah.
You know, he's not something that already
he's
has
a director
a
of research and identity.
Which I'm gonna be honest,
I don't know what that means.
What does this mean?
I have no idea what this means. But what I do like, I've kind of dubbed this in my own brain, this is the great experiment. This is the Clippers putting together genius basketball minds
mm-hmm.
and being like, we're going to take a pretty much whole new approach to how we build a culture and a team.
Yeah.
His quote, he had a wonderful quote in his piece to the SI where he named only six people in the Clippers organization. All of them were higher-ups. The one that was not a higher-up was Shea. He mentioned Shea as being basically a cornerstone about what they want to be able to do, which is very telling of how this organization views Shea.
Yeah, it's really great.
It just seems like he's going to be the man,
yeah,
which is awesome. That's kind of besides the point. The Lee Jenkins hiring, it brings this like, it's great. I think the culture is so, it feels elevated in terms of how we're looking at the game from a cerebral point.
What do you say he's doing on the day-to-day? Like, you're Lee Jenkins. What's your day entailing at the Los Angeles Clippers?
I think him and Jerry West are just hanging out and throwing a ball against the wall and just spitballing. I mean, what else? Like, I don't mean that in a rude way, but it's like, I don't know what else the director of Reach Identity does other than finding targets and maybe breaking down how those are going to fit.
Yeah, the thing that I guess why I have so many questions about this is they said that like scouting and recruiting is only like a faction of his job.
Yeah, so I'm like, what's the other part?
And like, you know, Lee Jenkins obviously known for like his wonderfully detailed profiles of players and like kind of having unparalleled access.
Mm-hmm.
And that was he cited as a reason like why he was interested in this is like seeing behind the curtain in a way that he hadn't necessarily ever before.
Yeah, which is tight for him, but he also can't really write about it anymore.
Oh, yeah, can't write about
maybe,
it.
Maybe, I think scouting might be a little bigger. I think they're going to bring targets to him
mm-hmm.
that they've already sifted through and going to be like, give us your breakdown of how this guy could fit with our team.
Yeah, or maybe not even a breakdown from like an analytical standpoint so much as just a, hey, talk to this guy. What
yeah,
do you think?
Like almost a psychological breakdown or just like, how does he mesh
yeah.
with the team? It's interesting. I love it. I think it's such a move of like, all right, we're really all in. Like everyone top to bottom is into this new way of constructing a team.
I like that this is us right now.
100%.
I like that we are in this position that we're making these kind of moves and that we are starting to see the game further ahead.
We absolutely are. It feels so good to be making smart hires.
Yeah. I feel like for a while we were kind of locked into a thing. I mean, like, I bring this up a lot, but
More locked on to a thing.
For a long time, it just felt like the Clippers as a team and franchise were getting kind of stagnant.
Kind of spinning their wheels.
Yeah. And it's great to be a part of this new outlook, like where, yeah, it feels like we're seeing further down the field and it feels like we're seeing things maybe a couple moves ahead.
And the groundswell of like, we got rid of Lob City and immediately have changed the whole team.
Yeah.
Like,
it's been incredible.
It's been so amazing. It shows
in the last year, I feel like this is I don't even feel like it. It is a completely different franchise.
Culturally, play style, we assume wise. I'm so excited for this season. This Butler talk and the Lee Jenkins thing have my hope meter at like an all-time high of how well we can do this season.
Yeah. But anyways, let us know what you think. You Please guys excited about this? Guys, what do you think Lee's going to be doing?
Guys have been great on Twitter. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.